Blog Talk Radio.
Point is up and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show, 5 minutes behind. So just like the post office or the postman, whether it snows, sleets, rains, the show must go on. But I got to tell you, a little sick today, a little under the weather. So, but we will press through with a fine show. So we do want to get right into our pay attention topic. We got a couple interesting items going on today, so why don't we go ahead and get right to it? And the first thing I'm thinking about is the whole French Open piece, and I'm just, you know, it's amazing to me, Serena Williams and even Venus Williams still has a hold on women's tennis. When I look at today, Yelena Ostapenko, who is a unseeded player, versus Simona Halep, who's actually ranked third in the world. So now let's look at this woman. Yelena, how does she even make the final? Unseeded? I mean, that shows, that should make for good TV. That should make for good drama. I got to tell you, I didn't even know she was advanced. I really didn't even know it. So that's not good. And then the person she's playing, Simona, I didn't know she was ranked third in the world. Tennis has got a real problem here with two aging veterans in Serena and Venus. Sharapova seems to be sort of a part-time player now. Tennis has got a really big problem, and I don't know what they're going to do about it, but Serena can't play forever, and hopefully Venus will be back for Wimbledon. And Wimbledon has its own pomp and circumstance that'll get you through. But man, this French Open for the ladies has been pretty poor. There have been 8 different champions since 2007, which is good news. I mean, that's a good thing. But still, I think it's going to be a problem. So anyway, we could talk about that until half three is over. But we won't. We'll go on to something different, which is the men's side of the French Open. Stan Wawrinka, really good player. Really nice play versus Nadal, Rafa. So I don't know on this one. Nadal, I think if Nadal, if he wins this one, he will have the second most Grand Slam win of anybody. So only trailing Roger Federer. But the concern is Wawrinka. I mean, is this good TV? Does anyone really care about Sam Wawrinka? I doubt it. So once again, he got a pretty bad game But this should be hyped up. This should be, you know, okay, well, Rafa's going for, you know, his 14th, 15th, I believe, 15th Grand Slam title. This should be a big deal. It's nothing. It's just nothing. So, like I said, tennis as a whole has got a real problem. I was listening to another talk show a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about what's the sport that's going to go downhill over the next couple of months and or next couple of years. It looks like it may be tennis. We won't talk about that. Bob Stoops, Oklahoma football coach, 18 seeding, got a record of 190-48, 9-9 in bowl games, one national championship, 10 Big 12 championships. This dude owned the Big 12. But, you know, he came in an era where he also went up against Nick Saban. And quite honestly, as good as Bob Stoops' record is and all the Big 12 championships, the bowl record and only the one national championship, not good enough to put him even anywhere near the GOAT. Nick Saban is the greatest college football coach of all time, not even close. So, therefore, we won't talk about that either. Here's today's Pay Attention. Now, maybe I'm old school, maybe there's something wrong with me, but last night I'm watching Bron kill Seth and the boys. And I see Odell Beckham sitting next to Trent Williams. I got a problem with that. I got a real problem with that. Here's why. Trent, you can't do that. You're a captain of the Redskins, and he's the arch enemy. So you can't sit with that guy. Now I know you say, well, you can do whatever you want to do. That's true. But it's just, I never would have thought that, you know, teams would actually go out together, hang out together in the off season. Times have really changed. And here's the thing. You got two guys who, you know, quite honestly, should both be at training camps. Odell Beckham Jr. all week was talk about, you know, him not going to OTAs. And, you know, he's out in Cleveland for the NBA Finals with the opponent. Like, that just doesn't make any sense with me. And then now Game 5 is Tuesday in California, in Oakland. And Odell Beckham's already said that he's going to be at the mandatory mini camp for the Giants. So the question is he going to be there now? I don't know. Will he skip practice to go to a basketball game with his new friend, Redskins captain Trent Williams? I mean, this is just an awful way to go about doing things. And here's the last thing. Two questionable character guys. I think Trent Williams is on his second leg in failing the NFL substance abuse policy. And, of course, our guy, Odell Beckham Jr., well-documented the number of character issues that he's had over the season. So I don't know. It's a really weird one. I hope never to see that again. So that's our pay attention topic today. Odell Beckham going to a game with Trent Williams, just unsacked. So anyway, hey, listen. Today we got just to give equal time. We had our friends from the Washington Prodigy on a few weeks ago to talk about their season. And today we're going to have our friends from the DC Divas to include Hall of Famer. This player will be a Hall of Famer whenever she stops playing, Trigger McNair. Trigger McNair, the DC Divas, going to join us live as they prepare for their next step towards the net, another Diva championship. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. We'll be right back.
wealth and fame. I just want enough to play the game. We need money.
Chucky, 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 we do need some money. We all need some money. Speaking of needing money, do the Jets need money? My goodness, they have blown that team up. I couldn't believe the number of veteran guys that they have, you know, released, renegotiated contracts, this, that, and the other. And I knew when they got rid of Brandon Marshall, I knew that something was going on in Jetland. I knew it, and I think now we see they've decided to just blow this thing up. They're going to get rid of Eric Decker this week, which is another big-time receiver. So I don't know. It's a tough deal, tough deal right there. So we're waiting for Trigger McNair, DC Divas, to come in live and give us a little rundown. They got the Cleveland Fusion playoff game today. Divas are hosting. And I can tell you, I think they're a team that never blows up a team. I mean, they just keep that machine going. You never have to wonder who's left. I think they've won so many championships that it's like, man, how do we keep this train moving? Because usually when teams have championship wins, especially back-to-back, their veteran players will retire. But the Divas do a good job. For some kind of way, they're able to, you know, just to manufacture players. The general manager, Rich Daniel, always recruiting. They get their young players in games early. And I think this is the way they're able to be so successful. So I believe we have Trigger on the line. Trigger, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Trigger McNair, one of my all-time favorites. What's going on? You good?
Man, not a lot. I'm good. I'm trying to get myself together today. That's all.
Trigger, I was telling our listening audience that, you know, there's a saying in football, first-round Hall of Famer. You already know you're one of them, but you won't be in the Hall of Fame until you stop playing. When in the world are you going to stop playing? My goodness.
I'm trying to give it up, and it looks like this year is going to be my last. I got to stop this.
Now, how many years have you been playing?
This is my 19th
how many years?
Season. Like, 19 seasons.
And arguably, yeah, you had maybe the greatest game you've ever had just like a week or two ago. When you blocked that kick, tell us about that game and about that play right there, because that play will go down as one of the all-time greatest plays in Diva history outside of the kick return in Boston, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, absolutely. The kick return was the bomb, actually. But last week it was, you know, it was somebody had to make a play. Me and Shereen was actually talking about, like, look, we tired. We're down on numbers defensively. Somebody's got to make a play in this game. And it was pretty much, you know, at that moment, I figured I could beat the girl because when they scored prior, it felt like I could bully her around. And I just picked her, and I just put everything into it and wanted to get off that field. So it actually worked out. You know, that is one of my best plays that I've made in my career.
Right. In 19 years, you're still making great plays. I think you got to come back for 20. I mean, I think you and Donna just keep going. I mean, you know,
oh,
just keep playing. Right?
That's funny.
Now,
people
Trigger,
are saying.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm saying people are telling me to stay for 20 seasons, but that's a lot on my body, and it takes a lot of commitment, Coach. You know that. It's draining.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, I love veteran players, as you remember. So I could wink at you in practice and kind of tell you, okay, take a break. But when it came a game day, I didn't care whether you were hurt or not. I threw you in there, tired, hurt, whatever. And so you're right. It is a wear and tear on your body. Now tell me this: you've had a lot of rivalry games in your time with the Divas. Is the passion Is that the number one rival? Is it Boston? Who is it? Because I watched the video when you blocked that kick, and, I mean, their hearts were broken, Pittsburgh. So who's the main rival?
Our main rival is Boston, but this particular Pittsburgh game, they came in a little more arrogant than they normally do. Normally they humble and they respect the champs, but this time they came in and they was like, we don't care who you are to get you. So that's why they were a little heartbroken about it. But, you know, at the end of the day, we are still the back-to-back champs, and people need to respect that.
Well, Cleveland is the next opponent, and I don't know if they're going to respect it or not. Tell me about this Cleveland Fusion team.
Honestly, they don't need to respect it because right now we are finally on all cylinders physically and mentally. So Cleveland is right now, they're in our way. We finally got all our components back that were injured because we had a lot of injuries early in the year. Offense is looking good, and they're finally getting their rhythm. So right now we're under the radar, and we're right where we need to be.
Now, do you think that that game is a home game for you all?
Yeah, last home game today.
Wow. So that's going to be, you know, in essence, that could be your last regular season game. I've only heard that a million times, but I'm sure you're going to bring a little extra juice to the table. Now, you mentioned your running partner, Sheree Marshall, and I coach Sheree as well, great player. Sheree was injured during my tenure, but, I mean, she looks like she's hitting on all cylinders as well. Tell me about, you know, you all and the bond that you all have holding down that defense, which y'all been doing forever.
That Sheree is my ace. She's my partner in crime, and I actually begged her to come back and help out because I felt like I couldn't do it, you know, without her. She initially was coaching this year, and I talked to her and begged her and bought her lunch and promised her all type of gifts for her to come out of retirement and help me get this three-peat rank. So, I mean, it's working, and she's healthy. She's finally healthy. So right now it's looking good, Coach. It's looking real good for us right now.
Now, how do you all do this? Because, you know, I mean, I went over and coached a team that was upstart and young and this and that. You guys keep this high level of play, and people retire off. You know, Divas have had some great people retire off. You'll do it one day. But it always seems like y'all got a pickup or another young next best thing. Who's the next best thing on this Diva team that you can kind of see already that they may help you today to beat the Fusion? Who's that person?
Well, it's already given who the next best thing is. It's number 44, Tia Watkins. She's a monster. Defensively, she can do things that a lot of people can't. She actually is like kind of Ivy 4.0. She's everywhere.
Wow.
She's fast. She's strong. And she knows the game. She's still learning the game. So, you know, easily it's going to be her running the defense when the core retires.
Wow, that is great. So now once you finish off Cleveland today, then what is it, playoff for you guys, or what happens after that?
This is our first round playoff game tonight.
Oh,
and
okay.
Once we knock Cleveland out the way, because right now they're in our way, we're going to Boston next week, and we got some unfinished business in Boston.
Again.
Okay.
Again. Is this Boston DC 10 or what? I mean, goodness gracious.
It's never going to get old with us in Boston. It's just a rivalry that's never going to stop.
No, I believe that. And now tell me about Fish. I'm proud of Fish. She played DB for me. And did a great job, held down the whole side of the field so that you could go chase down quarterback. And now she's been coaching for a while and doing a really, really good job. I'm really, really proud of her. Tell me about Fish and her coaching style and that sort of thing.
You know, Fish, when she first came on as a coach, nobody really, you know, expected much out of her. But, you know, as the years went past and, you know, she kept us going and kept us, you know, focused, nobody actually really realized how much she did, because right now we missed it. She kept us together. She kept everything just tight. You know, the loose ends that we're going through right now that we shouldn't be going through, Fish took care of. And, I mean, we miss her, like, enormously right now. And she didn't bother us. She knew our style of play. She didn't, you know, harass us. She barely came to the defensive side. She knew, we knew what we were doing. You know, she just let us play. But at the same time, she kept us where we needed to be, you know, mentally.
Well, and that's why you got, you know, good, better. I know you do. That's why you got good, veteran leadership like yourself. So tell us about the game today. Where at, what time, all that good. How can people get tickets, all that stuff?
Please come out to come see us tonight. Tonight at 6 p.m. at Lee High School in Springfield, Virginia. Tickets, you got to buy them at the gate. And hopefully you can buy them at the gate and put my name on it because I still need donations to get to Boston and Chicago and everywhere else we're going. So, yeah, please donate. Number 58, Trigger McMahon. Donate. Come to the game. I promise you, Coach, I promise you I'm going to put on a show tonight because it's probably going to be my last home game. I'm going to entertain the crowd tonight.
Well, Trig, I'm going to do my best to make it out there. I got a previous commitment, but I can tell you this, and you know you've heard me say it a million times, just focus on winning one game in a week's time. That's it. And right now the Cleveland game is your most important game out of your 19 seasons. None of those games matter right now. They really don't. They're all nice memories. This one tonight, this is it. So, hey, best of luck to you. Please tell Coach Nelson and everybody else, Rich, and everybody that I said hello. You guys are always welcome on the Extra Points Radio Show.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Coach.
Trigger McNair, number 58. Glad you got that number out there. Number 58, they're out at Lee High School tonight as they go up against the Cleveland Fusion. And, you know, I hope our listening audience can hear the passion that these athletes have for the game. And let's not ever forget that women pay to play football. And I think it's disgusting. I think it's terrible that women have to pay to play, but men get paid to play. I mean, this is one of the most, this is just a huge injustice. I'm so glad for people like Serena Williams, who made sure that women got equal pay for winning their tournament. I hope the same thing happens in golf, although I don't see it happening. But in football, I mean, I just don't understand why there aren't more teams trying to market, trying to sponsor around women's athletics. I think in the weeks to come, we're gonna do some digging into that and find out why that is. We may already know why it is, but let's see if we can try and fix it. So anyway, with that being said, I think you all know what time it is. If you don't,
yes, I am. Good morning. And that theme music, I think they stole that music from Quicken Loans Arena last night.
Craig, it was really, really bad. But before I even get into those officials, it's 3-1. You know, I mean, I watched it last night. You know, all these points, 50 points in a quarter and all that good stuff. But this thing is over, right? I mean, it's over.
Yeah, look, we know the cliche, it's never over until it's over and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, my family, I'm actually the lone Warrior supporter in my household these days.
You love your West Coast basketball.
Well, look, it's not about West Coast basketball. I mean, if nothing else, it's just about, you know, entertainment value. And honestly, let's face facts. They're the more talented team. And that's not disrespecting the Cavaliers. I mean, they have the best player in the world. But, you know, look, you're a football guy. Line up your players and see who's the best at each position. And I think most people will agree, if not all, that the Warriors have the more talent up and down the roster. So, and as I told my wife yesterday, it took a Herculean effort for the Cavs to do what they did last night. My question or my comment to her was simply this. they need three more Herculean efforts to achieve the victory. I don't see it happening.
Right. Right.
And do you see, is it more about what the Warriors are bringing to the table? Is it history? You know, why don't you see it? Because they just did it last year, right?
Well,
3-1 last year,
they came back. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. They came back from 3-1, and here's the thing that was not that, you know, should not get lost on people, although, you know, frankly, I thought we were almost going to see it happen again. You know, Draymond Green did not play game 5, which ended up being a critical circumstance. Gave the Cavaliers momentum. I think they saw that they were able to do it. And, you know, when you take a player out of a playoff series, even for one game, I think we've seen that teams, you know, the team that it benefits from the player loss typically can find a way through. And I think that's ultimately what happened. I mean, Cavaliers got some momentum and that sort of thing. So, you know, that's number one. Number two, they added the second best player in the league, arguably, in Kevin Durant. So, you know, that's why I think it's going to continue to take a Herculean effort. It took LeBron, it took Kyrie Irving to score 40 points. Kevin Love, I think, 30. LeBron, 30 on a triple-double, which he's been doing all series. I mean, he's very consistent. So, you know, and everyone else played, I think, to what people expected them to play. The question is, can they do it again? Not only can they do it 3 times in a row again, can they do it 3 times in a row, oh, by the way, twice on the road? And I think we've seen for a lot of the role players that the difference between home and away is monumental.
It is monumental. Let me ask you this question. Now, let's go. You mentioned Draymond Green. I'm not a big fan of his. Not because of his antics. I just don't think he's a very good basketball player. I didn't think he was at Michigan State. I don't think he is in the NBA. But, matter of fact, I think he's a poor man, Dennis Rodman. But anyway, what do you see with this refereeing last night? I mean, I could go up many different places, but let me start with the technical foul situation. I thought that was handled extremely poorly. It was clear. It was very clear that, you know, Draymond should have been out of the game. So how what happened? What am I missing?
Well, so, look, I think your listening audience knows, but I'll state for the record, I am not an NBA official. Having said that, because what happens in the NBA is a little bit unique at times, but here's the thing. It is not out of the realm of possibility for an official scorer to not necessarily know what transpires. But here's the course of events that typically would happen. And, again, I think we've talked about this on previous shows. What we do typically as referees is that we talk about some of these non-basketball-related things, which we characterize as game management issues, before the game. And so if we have reason to believe that we're going to have an issue with the table, which shouldn't happen at the professional level, because these are people who are there every game, they're there to do one job, and, you know, there's a variety of backups in place. So I say all that to mean that if there is a call, like a technical foul, and these things happen so quickly in the NBA, unlike to some degree, unlike college, which is a little more control. We try to, you know, do it a little differently. But the bottom line is this: you flush it out. And so, is it beyond the realm of possibility to believe that someone at the scorer's table could have gotten it wrong? Absolutely not. What I find highly, I guess I'll say questionable, is the fact that you're talking about an event that occurred, I think, in the second quarter, if not the first quarter, of the technical foul being assessed to Draymond Green or to Steve Kerr, and then it has to manifest itself in the fourth quarter when, oh, no, we did not call that technical foul on Green. I mean, if there was a question, you have plenty of time to fix that along the way, because someone at the scorer's table will say, who is that technical foul on that was assessed? That happens all the time, where a scorer will say, who was that last foul you called on? okay? Because you want to flush out, because you don't want to get in a situation where, like we had last night. So I'm not saying it.
You're thinking that this wasn't necessarily a referee mistake, but just the scores table just
it was a communication.
It's
a communication error or a communication breakdown.
Don't the scores work for you? Don't the score table people work for you?
They are part of the officiating team. Yes. Yes. So
what leg did Cleveland have to stand on? Because it seemed like Ty Lue had to just kind of take it. And I mean, I was having a fit when I was watching. I'm like, this isn't right. But it was it was kind of like an oopsie.
Let me say one thing, and look, I think this is where people who follow the NBA or have issues with the NBA, this is where the conspiracy theorists can certainly jump on board and have a field day. And I would say, in all fairness, I wouldn't really blame them. But let me just say, if that happened in a college game in a conference I work, the crew would probably be suspended for some period of time. Because you cannot have that occur for that long a period of time, because that's a correctable mistake, and that comes back on the officials, which it did last night. Because whether they are to blame or not, they are to blame in the minds of the public, and honestly, the burden of proof is on us. And so I could not, in good conscience, tell any of my assigners that, well, I assessed that technical foul to Coach Kerr, So the assigner would say, so how come the table did not know? How come you could not ensure that the table did not know? Because when 30 minutes of game time, give or take, elapsed, you really don't have a leg to stand on.
So
it's inexcusable.
Sure. I'll be the conspiracy theorist and say, are these people NBA employees? Where do they work? Do the table, Golden State table people fly out to Cleveland and work the table? No, I'm kidding. I mean, coaches are that way. I've seen coaches.
Yes, I know.
Put fans in the stands to make sure that, scouts didn't come in and look at practice. Where do these people come from? Are they just
at the pro level? Or? Yeah. At the pro level, these are people that do it all the time. There's someone who's designated as the official scorer.
So you're shooting down my conspiracy theory.
Well, in this case, look, if this was a college game, particularly at a lower level like I work at Division III, we could have a discussion. Because
you would have gotten in trouble last night.
At the end of the day, you cannot allow that to happen.
Right.
You
they
just
look
can't.
Like they were out of control of the game.
Absolutely.
Which brings me to my next point,
right.
Which is I'm going to go back to this Draymond Green, but the whole – all these antics with the Golden State Warriors, and maybe it's me because I don't like their brand of play. I don't believe in you shoot the ball from 30 feet away to win. I don't believe in that. But
right.
Is it me or do they whine after every whistle? It's like a big whine. And I'm like, these guys are way off. What do you do with that as a referee? I'm sitting there like, if I'm you, I'm like, you know what? Look, whine again and I'm going to call a tech. Like, or whine again and you won't see me call some fouls, I'll call some fouls. Like, how do you deal with that?
Well, I think you've been hanging around with me pretty for long enough that you're starting to sound like what I would sound like. But seriously,
good.
I mean, so here's the thing. And I would say, if you think they whine a lot, watch a Clippers game. Okay, it's frankly not close.
Oh, really?
Oh, please, it's not close. It's not close. Watch a Clippers game. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
But so here's the bottom line. When when I work a game, or when officials at any level work a game, particularly a lower level, that there's crying, constant haranguing about calls. The bottom line is this: I will tell, and I've said this to coaches before, Coach. You have a comment after every whistle. We cannot be wrong that frequently. There's three of us out here. We cannot be that wrong all the time. And so at some point, that's what you say, and you tune out because I'm not dealing with that because that takes away my concentration from the work at hand, which is to call the game. You can continue to take my attention away, and then the results are going to manifest itself. It takes a high degree of concentration to focus on a game in a very loud arena and call the game at a very high level, which many of us are able to do consistently. Okay? I challenge anyone
right.
in sitting in the stands to go down on a floor in a gym, a loud gym, a loud arena, and try to focus on the game at hand. It's an acquired skill. And honestly, when I go to work in basketball season, my mental sharpness is better than any time of the year. So when I go to work, I tell my bosses, you're getting me at my prime of the season. Because for 3 months, my concentration is at its best. And it manifests itself in my day-to-day job. Because I have to be that sharp. Okay?
I never thought about it like that. I'm going to have to think about when I'm coaching in the fall, am I at my very best at work? Well, probably not. But anyway, okay, so let me ask you this question. So it's not my imagination that they do this. But now let me go on the other side. Should they do it? Like, maybe it's the hacker shack. Maybe they're getting fouled a lot. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, is Cleveland, you know, Eastern basketball, are they fouling these guys extra hard or something? And I'm just being biased because I don't particularly care for their finesse game?
Here's the bottom line. I think everyone can see the vast majority of the time when there's a whistle, it's correct. Bottom line. So there's nothing to whine about. And at the end of the, you know, I make it very clear, at some point, we're human beings, everyone has a tolerance level. And my attitude is simply this. If it's coming from a player, my tolerance is less than coming from a coach. That's not to say I'll take it, you know, constantly from a coach. As I said, the coaches get tuned out. Because at that point, I'm only going to listen for things that are going to require me to take an action, which is assessing a technical foul or technical fouls and, you know, whatever results from that. Okay, so because we have to focus on the game at hand. You know, we try not to have players or, to a lesser degree, coaches just take away our concentration from the game or screwing up the game. Because usually the player like a Draymond Green is the kind of guy you got to keep your head on the swivel on because you never know what's going to happen. I'm not trying to suggest he's a dirty player, but, you know, players will take advantage when they think they can take advantage. It's a lot harder now with three officials. There's less blind spots.
Well, speaking of dirty player, what about the guy that gave Shumpter the low blow? No
Zsa
Pachulia. I mean, the ref was standing right there. LeBron was standing right there. Everybody was standing right there. The guy swung twice.
Yeah, so here's what I would say. If you ran through the sequence of plays, which I watched with everyone else a number of times, so first of all, he was – you know, if that was a college play, here's what should have happened. Carl Korver would have gotten called for a foul because he actually took Zsa Pachulia down to the ground.
Okay,
that would have been number one.
Right.
That's number one.
Korver,
number two,
and that keeps control of the game. Okay, good.
Correct. Okay, then number two, LeBron was entangled in that, but he did a little pushing and shoving too. So conceivably, Pachulia's taken down. That's one contact, no whistle. Then LeBron is in the tangle up, and in the midst of that, he, you know, appears to maybe give a shove to Pachulia, whether it's intentional or not. But again, fouls don't have to have intent. Okay, so before Pachulia has done anything, he believes he's been wronged twice. He's at least, so in my view, and again, I wasn't in his position. In my view, he may have been doing nothing more than just trying to get someone off of him because he was uncomfortable or he was in some kind of pain. And again, he believes he was wrong. So if I'm looking at that sequence of plays, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because it's probably not too arguable to suggest he had been wronged twice before he even did anything.
Super Referee Craig Muck on the Extra Points Radio Show. What a perspective. I didn't see any of that. Like, you had me at Korver, right, and then you lost me at LeBron. But I never thought about the fact that, what's his name?
Pachulia.
Yeah.
Okay. Pachulia.
Him, Pachulia, I never thought that he would have been wrong twice before he even swung. That's really, really good perspective there. So let me ask you this, since you got good perspective on your hoops. This is going to be over tomorrow night or Tuesday night. Who catches up with this team? You know, is this the dynasty? Is this, you know, some super team all of a sudden? Is there anybody that can even remotely slow this train down?
I mean, I would say if every team were to stay the same, which we know they're not, no. But I would say, given the fact that we know every team is not going to stay the same, I think there are teams that are poised, Cleveland still being one of them, San Antonio being another, that with one or two key additions could definitely, equalize the balance of power. But
yeah.
I wouldn't say what I would say is that I still think that the teams like a San Antonio, the teams like a Cleveland, and maybe even to a lesser degree Boston or Toronto, maybe even a Utah, they can still be there in the mix, but I don't think they will be, unless they make some blockbuster moves, I don't see them as being elite teams next season. Elite like Cavaliers, Warriors, Spurs.
I noticed you didn't say the Knicks, thank goodness. But I do want to ask you something about New York sports for a second, or sports in general. I was a little disappointed last night to see the home team's football captain, Trent Williams, two-time drug offender, on the sideline with a questionable sort in Odell Beckham Jr., and he had a hood on, so I don't know what color his hair was this week. But I don't like that kind of stuff, fraternizing with the enemy, this, that, and the other. Am I way old school? Am I that out of touch? Because shouldn't they not be talking? Well, first of all, both of them should have been at practice. Okay, there's training camps going on right now, and both these guys are saying, no, I'll work out at home. But did you see that on the side? And then, oh, by the way, they're on the Warriors bench rooting for Cleveland. Like, anything could have happened. Somebody could have thrown a snow cone and told Odell to catch the snow cone and hit him in his eye like that kicking net did. And then he would have went up in the stands and gotten in a big fight and been fined, and the NFL throws him out. I mean, this thing could have went – I mean, I'm going viral on it, but right? I mean,
well,
that was a mess, those two sitting there.
Yeah, remind me, didn't Trent Williams go to an SEC school, if I'm not mistaken?
No, sir, Oklahoma. Big 12 school.
So I'm just trying to...
Right, so they have
no
connection. No, I'm glad you asked that question. They have no connection. Now, I did some research this morning. It appears as though Blondie is friends with Bron. So if that's the case, okay, good. Are you going to go to the game on Tuesday? Because now they're saying, you want to talk about conspiracy theory. They're saying that every time he goes to a game in the finals, I guess the team he roots for wins or whatever. So now there's rumors he may show up Tuesday night, but he already told the Giants he'll be there for the mandatory minicamp. So I'm just trying to figure out that once again. Here he goes again. You know, he's the top story, and LeBron had a triple-double, and this guy's the top story. But should teams – what do you think? If I'm the coach, I'm calling Trent Williams this morning and go, hey, first of all, you're supposed to be at practice. Second of all, I'm not really feeling you hanging out with the opponent. Third of all, the opponent who is of questionable character.
Yeah, so assume, and, you know, for the sake of this discussion, let's assume that although he was not at, you know, the mini camp, that he had communication with the team and said, I won't be there. Yada, yada, yada. So on that assumption, I think, you know, look, Trent and Odell are adults, you know, and they can do what they want per se in their free time. So now we've seen on numerous occasions, not countless occasions, that stars will go to these, you know, events. Because, look, I mean, they're celebrities whether, you know, we choose to believe that or not, they being the players.
Right.
And they want to be where all the action is, which clearly the NBA Finals. And I think if you look at what the NFL and the NBA have tried to do.
Go with your teammate. Are you going to go have a beer with Rick Pitino?
No.
Exactly.
No.
Thank you very much.
No, I'm not.
Right. First of all, he is a questionable character, right?
And he's a coach.
He compromises your position. Right.
Yes, he does.
Right. And he's a coach. So he compromises you as a referee. So this Trent Williams, to me, is compromised, not Odell Beckham, because Beckham, quite honestly, is a dazzling, remarkable receiver. But he's not the captain of the team, right?
Right.
So for Trent Williams, who has two violations already and is still captain of the team, which I would have stripped him of his captainship, goes and hangs out with this guy, who's also the arch enemy. To me, if I'm a Redskin, I'm like,
Giant. Yeah, I mean.
Well, if you're a Giant, the only snub is, you know, well, if I'm Eli, I'm going, that's Odell being Odell. I'm going to practice. If he wants to skip practice and go hang out,
right,
be a celebrity, whatever, as long as he catches a touchdown, whatever. And which, by the way, I say all this about Odell. I think he should get his contract renewed just based on numbers. But I just thought that was a little weird that this guy was allowed. These two guys, it's almost like they kind of snubbed their teams. I just felt that way, but.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point, but I think, you know, we're in a new day with the players and stuff like that. So you know, I think I frankly think our age is showing.
Right. Okay. Very good. All right. So it's a generational gap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
So here's the thing. So you're saying then that because these players, I mean, Odell Beckham, I don't know, he's probably a 20 something, but Trent Williams is, you know, on the other side of his career now. So I don't.
Yeah,
I don't,
no, he is. Right.
Yeah, so I don't think he's hanging out just to be a young guy and a man about town. I think Trent Williams, like you said, they are celebrities. That NBA Finals is a big party, and he wanted to be at the party.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, unfortunately. And look, I'm a career PR guy, so we look at the optics. They tend not to. So they need people to have to help them out with that.
So what were the optics then, from a public relations standpoint? What were the optics?
Look, you're acutely aware of football. I'm sure for the Giant fans, or I'm sure for the Redskins fans, there's similar conversation around some barbershop or some breakfast, restaurant table about a similar subject. And so, you know, honestly, that's the kind of thing where a PR person just has to say, you know, we'll just suggest, you know, you may not want to have been with that person. Here's what it looks like to the outside world. Were you doing anything wrong? No. But he's on the arch rival team. What does that look like?
Right.
Of course you can be friends. Of course you can be seen in public places. It's going to happen.
Wonderful.
But, you know, sometimes discretion is better. You could have been there. Right. You didn't have to be together. You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Be on Cleveland's bench. Maybe not be on the Warriors' bench rooting against the Warriors for something to happen. I don't know. And then that fan went crazy, and they had to throw the fan out. He was sitting right next to Beckham. I mean, that could have been a mess. All right,
exactly.
Let me close with this. Game 5 is Tuesday night. What's the prediction there? Who wins that game?
Short of something that happened last night, which I don't think will happen, I think the Warriors are going to win in 5. But I would say this, look, for all the LeBron haters, and look, I had to come around to liking LeBron. I did not like him when he first came in the league for a number of years. But I've become, you know, I respect what he's done. He's become an outstanding player. LeBron cannot be vilified in any way. I mean, he's played superior basketball. And, honestly, he's done all he could to get his team this far. So, you know, even if LeBron has a subpar game five, which I don't think he will, no one could criticize LeBron after this. And I think Kevin Durant will be, you know, will get what he was looking for. And I think he's proven himself to be a worthy opponent to LeBron. So I think at the very least, we can look forward to some future matchups down the way with between LeBron and Kevin Durant. Because I think it's been great that they've been guarding each other, actually.
He did some whining last night as well, but hey, it is what it is. Super referee Craig Muckle, always a pleasure. Nobody knows hoops. And you know what? As a matter of fact, you did such a great job today. We'll send you out. There you go.
Hey, thank you.
All right. That music never gets old. And absolutely. At all. Absolutely. Hey, warning. For today, it's easy. Time. Don't waste time. It's the only thing you can't get back in life. It's the only thing. You can get everything else back, at least try to, but you can't get your time back. Don't waste time. So, hey, our predictions for last week, didn't do too well. We picked the Predators there, and the Predators didn't win the game that we picked them to win. They won the next one, so we were 0-1 there. Jeremy Macklin, I said, would be picked up in a week. That hadn't happened yet. He's still... He spent 2 days in Buffalo. Now he's in Baltimore this weekend with the Ravens. But I thought he was going to sign with Buffalo with Shady McCoy doing the recruiting. That didn't happen. So 0-2. And then, of course, Cleveland lost game three. So we were 0-3. So overall, we haven't been 0-3 in months. So overall, we're 33-30 and got to bounce back this week. So here's the way we'll bounce back. I've got the Nationals winning today. They got a noon start. Nats are winning today. They lost to the Rangers at home, which was a little bit of a surprise. Tanner Roark. On Tanner Roark bobblehead night, they lost. So I got to get off the snide and win tonight. I got Jeremy Macklin getting picked up by the Ravens this weekend. So let's see if that happens. I don't know why I'm on this Jeremy Macklin thing. I mean, he's a good receiver. He got married and they cut him the next day. By the way, Andy Reid was at the wedding, so he knew he was going to cut it. I don't like that about jobs nowadays. The manager will tell you to come do something social with them, and then cut you. Like, that's not good. But anyway, I digress. I got the Warriors over Cleveland in game five. This one's over. So sorry, LeBron. Sorry. Hey, if you want to find out more about the Extra Points radio show and Extra Points, go to extrapointsllc.com, or you can reach us on Twitter at extrapointsllc, where you will find all the wonderful things I'm doing out in the community, to include doing some speaking. So if you're looking for someone to engage, inspire, and motivate your team, book me. And when you talk about booking, absolutely, book's still doing well. Please, please get your copy today, Extra Points, The Life of My Story. Hey, another great show. Hey, my man, Kingsley in New York, I see you. Kingsley, next week we're talking New York Jets football. I'm promising you that, Kingsley, so be ready. I'm going to put you on air next week. We're going to talk New York Jets and how the Jets have absolutely blown that team. Don't get it. They're saving money. So, hey, have a great weekend. Stay cool. It's going to be hot. The Extra Point is up, and it's always good.